Good morning on this Monday, June 16th. International investigators have a mystery on their hands. They're trying to find out who Pakistan's former top nuclear scientist may have secretly shared blueprints for a sophisticated and compact nuclear weapon. Who did he share those with? Could he have given the prints investigators found on his computers to Iran, North Korea, or other countries sanctioned against having them? The New York Times' David Sanger has been tracking this story for the past year. David, good morning.
Good morning, Adora. How are you?
Good. The father of Pakistan's nuclear technology, Abdul Qadir Khan, has been under house arrest since 2004. What have you learned about his ring? Is it alive and well?
The ring is not necessarily alive and well, but very few of its members, Adora, have actually gone to jail. And it's a pretty luxurious incarceration that Khan himself has. I was in Islamabad 2 months ago and drove by his house, which is in a very Tony neighborhood of the city. And there are a couple of pretty nasty-looking guards outside, but they seem more interested in actually keeping passersby from sort of lingering or ringing the doorbell than they do in keeping him on the inside. He's been traveling around a fair bit.
And let's talk about the nuclear weapon at issue here. They're calling them electronic blueprints. Is this something that can simply be emailed and forwarded?
It may be a little bit big to email, and you might, for some security reasons, not want to be caught doing that. But it certainly could be put on, say, a very large thumb drive or a series of CDs. So that's the big concern about this. You may recall that when the Libyans turned over their nuclear program in 2003, when they got caught, and they had gotten all of their stuff from Khan, they actually did have a weapons design that Khan had given them. But it was in big sort of blueprint form on paper. And when it got turned over to the investigators, it was still wrapped in the plastic of some dry cleaners who were down the road from Khan's house, which sort of amused everybody. Not everybody sends their bomb designs out to be dry cleaned. But in this case, this has been found on computers that belong to the Khan network all around the world, and it's a much more sophisticated design. And it very closely resembles the design of the weapon that Pakistan tested in underground tests exactly 10 years ago.
But this nuclear weapon, it's described as sophisticated and compact. Are we talking about something that fits in a suitcase, or does it belong
in
a truck?
In a suitcase. But it would fit on top of a Shahab-3 missile, which is the Iranian missile, or a Nodong missile, which is the North Korean missile. And there's no accident about this, because North Korea, which has a pretty active missile business, actually was the supplier of the original designs for these missiles to both Iran and to Pakistan. So this one of the reasons that this is of more concern than the old Chinese design is that you actually could fit it on something that would make it deliverable. The Chinese one was big and heavy.
Well, let's not get into the details of the science too much, but we should point out that this is a uranium-based implosion weapon, if I'm not misunderstanding, that it basically compresses a ball of uranium. And the what's so disturbing about these blueprints is if you could just send to somebody the sequence for producing that implosion, you basically speed up the testing to create such a weapon by perhaps as much as years, right?
That's right. You cut a lot of time out. Now, remember, what's the hardest part about building a bomb? It's getting the actual fuel. But as we've learned in the case of the Iranians, they're working on that pretty hard. In the case of the North Koreans, who have plutonium weapons, they've already got it. So what this does is it puts on the market something that would sort of help somebody get to the last steps.
And who do you think might have those blueprints now, David?
Well, it's a great question. And this is the $64,000 question of this whole mystery. Because we we know that it was on the computers of these networks, and we know that Khan did business at least with North Korea, Libya, and Iran. But if you follow his travels before he was arrested in 2004, you discover that he traveled all through the Middle East. He was, of course, in Syria, which just got caught trying to build a reactor until the Israelis went and redecorated it for them in September. He was, of course, at various times in Saudi Arabia. He was throughout Africa. So he was in a lot of places where there was weapons concern. And in the 4 years since, nobody's ever been able to find any evidence that he actually was selling them the full package of goods that he sold to North Korea and Libya and to Iran. But that doesn't mean that we understand what he was doing. And he isn't answering very many questions.
And the Pakistanis are not allowing U.S. investigators to have any conversations with him.
Nor are they allowing the International Atomic Energy Agency to have any to question him, because he's considered to be a national hero for having gotten them to the bomb. But what's more interesting is when I was in Islamabad, because the new government was just coming in, Khan was suddenly on a kick to sort of make the case that it was time really for him to be let out.
And that's certainly going to be the next chapter. And we were going to put you on speed dial so that we can call you back to get the latest. New York Times reporter David Sanger, been on the trail of these nuclear blueprints for a year. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.